Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is September 29th, 2024, or it's the 27th day of Tishri, 2028. We will start our first service today with a continuation of Track 16 of Judgment of the Living, the Beit Yehala. We're on part 3. We're on page 14. And our title for our sermon of part 3 is On the Mount Zion with the Lamb, indicates probationary time, meaning that we're in the 12th parabolic hour, judgment of the living. And as soon as he, Yahshua, is seen with the 144,000 on Mount Zion, then that's when he starts the harvest of the world. The first fruits has already been harvested, which is the 144,000. Out of the Adventist church, Ezekiel 9 has already gone to the Adventist church and destroyed the wicked and all the terrorists. And so all you got left now is 144,000 that have come into the next group, or group 5, Matthew 20, verse 6, that's called at the 11th hour, and to work in the 12th hour, and that's where we're at today. So it says, and as I start reading, and I left, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. Revelation 14:1. For the Yahshua has many titles, each of which designates his particular office at the time. Inspiration takes occasion to unfold the scroll concerning the event or events then on the prophetic calendar. As his title in this instance is the Lamb, and as the 144,000 stand with him upon the Mount Sinai, then very obviously the 144,000 are standing with him in the Holy Land during a time in which his shed blood is still atoning for the penitent sinners. Else his title could not be the Lamb, but rather the Lion of the tribe of Judah, or some other title of the timely significance, for the 144,000 then must stand with him on the Mount Sinai during the probationary time. Again, it has to be so, since they are the first fruits only, thus necessitating the second fruits to follow, else the designation first fruits would be a misnomer and untrue, not only making meaningless the cardinal number first, but also confusing minds, all of which is foreign to inspiration. Verses 2, 3. And I heard a voice from the heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Which were redeemed from the earth. Here it is pointed out that the 144,000 descendants of the Jacob are to have an experience which the second fruits, the multitude that come out of all nations, Revelation 7:9, cannot possibly have. Only the 144,000 can learn this song at the time that the harpers sing it. For the second fruit, as the multitude cannot then learn it as they are not yet there at that time, these simple facts clearly show that the first fruits come first, also that all these events take place in the end time, in the time of the harvest, when the tares and the wheat are being separated in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, one from the other. This work inspired the judgment of the living among the members of the sanctuary on the earth. The time of the judgment is a most solemn period when the Yahshua gathers his own from among the tares. This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. He's the one that's here back on earth conducting the harvest. Those who have been members of the same family are separated. A mark is placed upon the righteous testimonies to ministers, page 234, and hence is the cleansing of the sanctuary, both on the earth and in heaven. Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. These, the 144,000, are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They follow him as the truth progresses. Hence they followed him as it progressed during his work in the sanctuary for the judgment of the dead, and they faithfully follow him on as he his ministerial work changes to the judgment of the living. Thus they follow him on in the victory unto the Mount Sinai. For the Jews too could likewise have followed him had they not stopped with the shadowy truth of the earthly sanctuary, but had gone on with the advancing truth when it was personified incarnate unto them. The truth that the services of the earthly sanctuary were transferred unto the heavenly sanctuary, for the Yahshua himself being both the sacrifice, Hebrews 9:26, and 12 and high priests after the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 7:11. These are they which will not defile with women, for they are virgins. Very obviously they are found in the true church, not in the dominion of the Babylon, for the great, and therefore not in the company of her daughters, churches, and hence are not defiled with them. On the contrary, there being, as John affirmed, the first fruits, Revelation 14:4, from the 12 tribes of Israel, Revelation 7:4-8, that makes it doubly certain, number one, that they are not defiled with Babylon's false churches, which is a symbol of a woman. And number two, that the second fruits, which come from all nations, are not virgins, for they are brought out of the dominion of Babylon the Great while she is riding the beast, dominating the world. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are washed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. Revelation 18:3. As 144,000 Revelation 7:4-8 come from among the first fruits, it follows logically and biblically that the great multitude who are brought to view in verse 9, immediately after the sealing of the first fruit, verse 3 and 8 are the second fruits. He says, furthermore, since 144,000 are exclusively from the descendants of Jacob, whereas a great multitude are from all nations, the facts stand out mountain high that 144,000 first fruits are the wheat in the field, Malachi 13:24-30, where the church Messiah's object lesson, page 70, harvested in Laodicea, the last of the seven churches in which the tares and wheat are commingled, and that the great multitude of the second fruits are the good grapes, the clusters, Revelation 14:18, harvested in the world, gathered out of Babylon's dominion, Revelation 18:4, during the time that the earth is lightened with the glory of another angel, Revelation 18:1. And they verse 5, and in their mouths was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of the Yahweh, the Father of Yahshua. Without guile in their mouths and without fault before the Yahweh, these 144,000 guileless servants of Yahweh speak nothing but the truth, thus making their community a city of the truth, Zechariah 8:3, and therefore making their proclamation of this gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, the veritable word of the present truth, the outcry message unto all nations. This is our next subtitle. Verse 6 of Revelation 14, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel. In other words, the plan of the salvation of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of Hebrews chapter 10, the new and living way, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. So, all the Gentiles then that are left, that 144,000 are sealed with this blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, then they go and teach the Gentiles how they have to be covered by this blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, and all of them to be brought out of all nations to his holy mountain, Isaiah 66. These Gentiles have got to learn how to be covered by the spirit of the everlasting covenant to get rid of their sins so that it enable them to travel and to come out of where they live in the world and be brought to his holy mountain, Jerusalem, into his holy temple. And they can only enter into that temple through his blood of Yahshua. Like the angels of the seven churches, Revelation 2:3, this angel is symbolical of the ministry, the servants of the Yahshua. Well, this is where V.T. Holub is not clear on. This angel of Revelation 18:1 that comes down and lies the earth to his glory is Yahshua. He represents all these different angels that come down. He's the angel there in the third seal there of Revelation, where it says this angel came down with a key to the bottomless pit. And then in seal number 5, so this angel comes back again with the key to the bottomless pit to unlock the pit and let the captives go free. And to bind Satan in that bottomless pit all by himself. Another place that says the bottomless pit is designated as this earth during 1,000 years. And since his message, the everlasting gospel, or the teaching anew for the first time to the Gentile world, the new and living way, of Hebrews chapter 10 through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. And that's what they're waiting on to be harvested by. It's finally proclaimed unto all nations by the 144,000 who figuratively stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Two facts are evident. Number one, that 144,000 sealed servants of the Yahweh, Heaven's Messiah, righteous, sanctified, spirit, filled ministers, and new sharp threshing instruments having teeth, Isaiah 41:15, are to finish the harvest during the ingathering of the sacrifice. And number two, that this proclaiming the everlasting gospel, the last unto all nations, these godless 11th, our 7th, saviors, Obadiah 21, to finish the gospel work on the earth. In other words, 144,000, they're called saviors there in Obadiah 21. And they finished the harvesting of the Gentiles of the world, nations of all nations, with this new truth for the Gentile world, and that is how they're saved through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10. This is what is called the gospel to them. This message of the everlasting plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Let's do that again. For this message of the everlasting covenant, by the teaching that it is the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12, with the message of the Revelation 10, which declares that there should be time no longer, and that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of the Yahshua, the mysteries of the Yahshua, and how you're saved by his blood through the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant that's taught in the sanctuary, a service. It says, should be finished, verse 6 and 7. Is seen to be proclaimed the second time, for the first time, only unto many nations, Revelation 10:11. The second time unto all nations, Revelation 14:6, 7 and 9. Chapter 10 of Revelation, verse 5 to 11. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, both land and sea, thus encompassing the wide world, lifted up his hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, that the end is come. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from the heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. That is, at first it shall be very sweet and pleasing, but at last very bitter and disappointing. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. For the denomination has rightly understood and taught that this sweet tasting, that bitter after experience, befell only the first day Advent prior to and in 1844, that they had come unto the end of the world, unto the time of the going home to glory, was a wondrously sweet thought unto them. But misapprehending the exact event then to take place, understanding it to be the second coming of the Yahshua, the time for the taking them to glory land, they were bitterly disappointed, exactly as forecast by the sweet and bitter experience John sustained when he figuratively ate the little book. Message with the three angels, Revelation 14:6-11, is the judgment of the dead. So your three angels are preached during the judgment of the dead, and when the judgment of the dead is over, then you preach the fourth angel, and then you preach the fifth angel comes after that to join the three angels, and then you have a five angels passage that is taught for the judgment of the living in the 12th parabolic hour. So the three angels' messages went from 1844 to 2003. Brother Johnson closed out the three angels' messages, the judgment of the dead, the sixth seal, with his departure in 2003, and Yeshua was there in person to lay the leadership on me, and I continued with it. Message with the loud cry angel, Revelation 18:4, judgment of the living. Well, the denomination also has rightly understood and taught that the command, thou must prophesy again, was a commission for the 144,000 believers after their disappointment at that time. But what has not been rightly understood and taught is that the subsequent commission for the prophesying teach again is not before all people, nations, tongues, and kings, but only before many people and nations and tongues and kings, showing that in her present economy she is not to finish the gospel work, not to teach all a nation, but only many, simply a sizable portion of them. Whereas the everlasting gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, is to be proclaimed unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, Revelation 14:6. For this vital distinction, all important, cannot be too heavily stressed. For if we fail to take serious heed unto it, failing to realize and acknowledge that before the work can go out onto completion worldwide, there is necessary to be a sweeping reformation, a reorganization, a change in the ideas and theories, habits and practices. Selected messages, book 1, page 128. We shall fail to rouse from our lethargy and stupor, dreaming that we are rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, and of no more truth or profit. Revelation 3:17. But if we now come wide awake and to the truth, we shall see our true condition, that we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and know it not, Revelation 3:17, and are in the need of everything, all the heaven's appointed grants of the grace. Indeed, only a little sin can fail to see instantly that since 1844 the denomination was given only the message of the judgment of the dead. And that therefore the message of the judgment of the living had yet to come. And that without it, the church, burning lamp, will go out in the dungeon darkness, and she will find herself without light for herself or for the world. That which is to save her from this fate and to enable her to finish the gospel work is the purging and reorganizing of the revealed unto Isaiah the prophet. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire of the Son of Yahweh, and with his church, like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by the sword will Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahshua shall be many. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send them that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, the Tubal, and Avan, unto the isles, a flaw, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh, all wrong nations upon horses and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, in my holy mountain, Jerusalem. Saith the Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering in the king's vessel into the house of the Yahshua, Isaiah 66:15, 16:19, and 20. The purification of the church is our next subtitle. For we must not fail to see that this crucial event, the slaying of the Yahshua, does not come upon the nations which have not as yet heard of the Yahshua's fame and glory, not upon those who are ignorant of him, but rather it justly comes upon those who ironically think that they are sanctified while they are eating abominations. Those things which the scriptures prohibit as food. Those who know better, who have known the truth, that have not heard it or lived it, are slain. While those who have not known the present truth, the plan of salvation, the blood of the elks, and the covenant of Yahshua, they live on, waiting for the 144,000 that knows that new song of Moses. They know this new interpretation of the plan of salvation, which they call the gospel. And so those that are living on, then they are harvested then by those that has the recipe for the plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, having their time and chance to hear it. There are many within whom the spirit of the Yahweh is striving. Let's read that again. For there are many with whom the spirit of the Yahshua is striving. The time of the Yahshua's destructive judgment is a time of the mercy for those who have had no opportunity for the learning of what is the truth. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 97, 2, 3, and 4 pages. Thus the disobedient and the hypocritical and the Seventh-day Adventist Church are the first to fear the stroke of the wrath, the judgment of the Yahshua. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. afterwards those that escape of them are sent not again nor still to many nations, but then unto every nation, to bring into the house of Yahweh, the Father, their brethren, that shall be saved from all of the nations of the earth. Obviously then, the slaying takes place after the denomination has prophesied again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Revelation 10:11. After the 144,000, this appointment, but before this mystery of the news of the good news of the plan of salvation, the brother of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, that the kingdom is preached for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. Thus, in all certainty, those who survive the slain, Ezekiel 9, and the Adventist Church, them that are the escaped of the spiritual Israel today, Isaiah 42:1-27, 66:19-20, and who are then sent unto the nation for the proclaiming unto them of the Yahweh's, of Yahshua's fame and his glory, are the 144,000 Israelites, as the godless servant of the Yahweh, as the first fruits of the Adventist Church, of the harvest, those who are reaped in the latter seer, SGA, no less certainty those whom they bring from among the Gentiles into the then purified house of the Yahshua, or the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9, as the second fruits of the harvest and the 12th parabolic hour with the seventh seal. Those who are reaped into Babylon, for the former are Israelites, gathered, reaped in the SDA church, Laodicea, during the purification, and the latter are the Gentiles, gathered, reaped in all the nations that are in Babylon after the cleansing of the church. So while those of the Revelation 14:1-6 and Isaiah 66:19-20, composing of the SDA church, purified and triumphant, who claim this good news of the plan of salvation, the brother of the everlasting kingdom of the Yahshua unto all nations, those of Revelation 10:11, comprising the SDA denomination at present, the church militant, proclaim the message only unto many nations. And what is this everlasting gospel? This gospel which, with a loud voice, the loud cry goes into all nations. That's the plan of the salvation. And all the statutes and judgments that governs this plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, are found in Leviticus 23:1-44. Verse 7, it says, "Fear God and give glory unto his, unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters." These godless servants of the Yahweh are planning to proclaim unto all human time that the hour of his judgment, the judgment of the living, has come. Well, We confirmed that at the Passover 2002 tournament, that the judgment of the dead closed out that year of 2002 with Brother Johnson at the helm at Gilead Center, and the judgment of the sixth seal, the sixth, and the sixth trumpet, and closed out for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the judgment of the living began with the fifth group of laborers, Matthew 20, verse 6, that's called at the 11th hour, to work in the last prophetic hour, the 12th hour, has come. And that the hour of his judgment is the end of the 11th hour. B.T. Hall says the 11th hour, but it is not the 11th hour. If it was a judgment for the living at the 11th hour, it would be for Gilead Center in 1970. And that's possible because when Brother Johnson's ministry was over in 2002 and 3, then he was cut off starting the judgment of the ancient men for the house, 1 Peter 4:17. And so that actually happened in 2003, the term of churches. And so the hour in which, on the one hand, the purified church, the infant kingdom of the Godhead, and that would have to be because the infant kingdom began with Brother Johnson in 1970 when he was given the knowledge on the creation calendar how to restore the sanctuary and put back in the operation, full operation with the ability. And so that was given Gilead Center to do, and they did, but that was in the 11th hour. The 12th hour is the judgment of the living. Come during Jacob's, Antipode Jacob's reign, in which that would be the 144,000. That's the first fruits harvest out of the Adventist Church, or the Antipode Jacobites. That would be in the 12th hour. So, Esau, antithetical Esau, Brother Johnson, he had the 11th hour, judgment of the living, for the house of Esau. And then Elijah David has the judgment of the living, the judgment in the 12th hour, and once he is set up and joined in the harvest, it's talking about bringing in the great multitude in the 12th parabolic hour. That's the answer for Jacob. That's 144,000 that will be doing that. Okay. So it said, for the hour in which, on the one hand, the purified church, the infant sinner of the Yahshua, comes into power for him and shall never be destroyed. That would be Daniel 2:44 and 45 prophecy. Which shall stand forever, Daniel 2:44. And in which, on the other hand, Babylon the Great, Revelation 17:3-5, the kingdom of the Satan, comes into the power for him, Revelation 17:18, and shortly passes away, Revelation 18:10, 17:19. It is during this traumatic hour of the harvesting with the plan of the everlasting covenant of the faith in the blood of Yahshua. Hebrews chapter 10 is in the operation. and a probation that all still in the probationary time in the 12th hour, that all of the Yahshua's people in the Babylon are called out of her. Revelation 18:4. Thus they are saved from the image of the beast speaker, Revelation 13:15. Rescued from among the nations ruled by the great Babylon during the final hour of her reign. Well, the final hour of her reign is the 12th hour. That's the final hour for the whole world. And brought into the purified church of the Yahshua, that would be the house of David, the infant kingdom, Daniel 2:34, 35, 44, 45, Micah 4:8, Obadiah 21. For there is no sin and no fear of her place coming nigh their dwelling, Psalms 91:10. Verses 8-11. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of the Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. These pronouncements of the doom upon the great Babylon cannot, in their primary and prophetic application, be proclaimed before she, the woman, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Revelation 17:18, and saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow, Revelation 18:7. Actually comes into being sitting full astride, dominating the scarlet colored beast, declares inspiration. For the message of the second angel did not reach this complete fulfillment in 1844, where the churches then experienced a moral fall and the consequence of their refusal of the light of the Advent message. That fall was not complete. Not yet can it be said that Babylon is fallen because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She has not yet made all nations do this. The work of the apostasy has not reached its culmination. The change is a progressive one, and the perfect fulfillment of the Revelation 14:8 is yet future. Big Controversy 3:89-90. Moreover, it is while Babylon rides the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17:3, and rules the world, that the angel of Revelation 18:1 lightens the earth with the glory of the Yahweh. Only the delivered ones then escape the wrath of the Yahweh, or the wrath of the Lamb. It's actually, we're talking about Yahshua here, that lines the earth with the glory of the Yahshua. Only the delivered ones then escape the wrath of the Yahshua, or the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 12, 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Yahweh and the faith of the Yahshua. And I heard a voice from the heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Yahshua from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead which die in the Yahshua from henceforth. That is, when the 144,000 stand on the Mount Sinai, and there is heard everywhere in Mochi, the voices saying, here is the patience of the saint. Here are they that seek the commandments of the Yashir and the faith of the Yashir. Okay. That seek the commandments of the Yahweh the Father and keeps the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yashir, his Son, which are all the statutes that both the Father and the Son are found in Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 44. That's the statutes of the sanctuary, complete the sanctuary service, and with the seventh-day Sabbath in the first statute, early writing 379. Death still reigned among the saints, coming out of the battle for the world henceforth in earth. From then on, from the time that the multitude of voices are heard saying, here is the patience of the saints. The true final harvest, verses 14 to 16. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. This is Revelation 14, verses 14 to 16. Having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice unto him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Concerning these angels, close reasoning and logical thinking warranted in 1847 that all classes of Second Advent believers agree that the angel brought to view in the sixth and seventh verses of this chapter represents the Advent message to the church and to the world. If this is true, then all five of the angels brought to view in this chapter represent five distinct messages prior to the Advent. We are left without a rule to interpret this chapter. A word to the little flock, 10 and 11. Okay. Bringing to view the two final reapings, these scriptures dispel the darkness and have long obscured the truth of the harvest. The first reaping, Revelation 14:14-16, is of the 144,000 first fruits harvest out of the Adventist church at Revelation 14:4 from the field, Matthew 13:24, the church. The field, as the church said, is the world. But we must understand this as signifying the church of the Yashir in the world. Yashir's object lesson, page 70 by Ellen G. White. That's called Christ object lesson fashion. And in these verses, Revelation 14:14-16, is figured forth in the separation of the tares from the wheat, the good fish from the bad, the gathering of the first fruits, which the Yashir himself is seen reaping, of the 144,000, by himself, because as he declares in the looking down unto this sign, the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I left, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arms have brought salvation unto me, and my chariot upheld me. And here, and Yashir's own arm, what was his own purified church here on earth? That everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44-45 has prophesied in these last days to rule over all the world, and it is set up by Yahshua, and that's called the house of David, antitypical David. So the house of antitypical David is Yahshua's right arm. He said he came down and looked at all the ministers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and got down to the very last one, Brother Johnson, for the last minister with inspiration to the Edmund Church, and he failed. And that's when Yahshua came and said, I looked to try to find one man. And said, I couldn't find one man that said to the Edmund Church that would uphold the truth. So he says, and I will tread down the people in my anger, and I was talking about the people in the Adventist church, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Isaiah 63:4-6. Verses 17-20. And another angel came out of the temple which is in the heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice unto him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of the Yahshua. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. After Yahshua himself reaps in his church his $144,000 service. Okay, let's do that again. After the Yahshua himself reaps in his church, the Seventh-day Adventist, that's Yahshua's church, his $144,000 servant, then the first, as the first fruits of the harvest, then they become co-workers with the second angel, with the sickle who comes out of the temple. And that second angel is Yahshua himself, again, comes out of the temple and reaps the grapes of the earth, which comprehends two classes, the clusters and the vine. In one class, the clusters are separated from the other class, the vine, where the angel commands, gather the clusters of the vine and cast it in, cast it, the vine that is, not the clusters, into the great winepress of the wrath of the Yahshua. Verses 18 and 19. Thus it is made incisively clear that whereas the Yahshua had none with him to reap the 144,000 first fruit, the second angel from the temple had 144,000 workers in the reaping of the Gentile world of the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 of the second fruit, which no man can number. As the clusters, the great good grapes of the represents the saints, it naturally follows that the vines with the bad grapes, the underdeveloped, the sour, the fermenting, the smitten, or the smutten, and the otherwise blighted and dead fruit left on them represents the wicked father and son, root and branch. These, not the precious clusters of the good fruit, are cast into the winepress of the wrath of the Yahshua, for the enormous amount of the blood flowing from the winepress testifies that the multitude of the wicked then yield up their lives in the forfeit of having refused to repent of their evil deeds before the close of the probation's precious hours, when the pleadings of the divine love and mercy shall be solaced forever, and in the frenetic despair they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Yahshua, and shall not find it. Amos 8:12. For the twofold fact that the Son of the Man, Yahshua, who figuratively sickled the wheat harvest of the earth, reaping the 144,000 first fruits in the Adventist church, Laodicea, and the sickle angel, who subsequently comes out of the temple which is in heaven, and who figuratively
sickles the grape harvest of the earth, reaping the great multitude of the second fruit, and the fallen churches of the great Babylon, and then every nation and kindred and tongue and people the wide world over, shows conclusively that both the Son of Man with his sickle and the second angel with his sickle come from the temple in heaven before the judgment is finished. This is the ultimate evidence and the proof that the harvest of both fruits come. Before the close of the probation, while the temple is still open, before the seven last plagues are poured out, truly the harvest is indeed the end of the world. Matthew 13:39. For without question it terminates the reign of sin, destroys the wicked, and crowns the righteous. But the only question is, will I then shout in ecstasy with the sheaves in the garner, the kingdom, or wail of the teeth, gnashing and lament of the Lord? Okay, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 20. Okay, page 46 of this chart is the chart, the temple type and added type. So that ends part two of this tract that we are bearing, entitled Judgment of the Living at the 11th hour of Ezekiel, which is actually now it's the 12th hour. We're in it. So what I'm seeing here, inspiration is showing me that the Judgment of the Living started with the house of Esau in 1970 with Murdoch Johnson at the helm, and it lasted for 33 and a half years, 1970 to 2003. And then the Judgment of the Living for the house of Jacob started then in 2003 at closing out Kermit, Texas, for the Judgment of the Dead. Okay, so now we are well, actually, we can close out this service. This brings the end of our service for this hour. We'll close out now with a song.